afternoon to you, and thank you, as always, for supporting Public Radio here at Lakeshore, 89.1 on the dial. And if you're listening to us from points in between and far away, online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, thank you for joining us. And today we have a very interesting show. As you know, this program is all about music and or entertainment, or a little of everything. Well, today it's a little of everything. We're going to celebrate two holidays. We're going to say goodbye officially to Halloween on the first part, and we're going to say hello Christmas on the second part. Joining me a little later in the show, Christopher Colley Jones and Stella Rose Hoyt, who are actors and stars of Miracle on 34th Street, the musical. But to kick it all off in just a moment, we've got regionally based magician slash illusionist. What is he really called? We'll find out. Nikki Jade, he's going to join us, and he's going to give us a little magic from the asylum. Welcome back to Lakeshore Public Radio and Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. It is definitely a kind of magic, or is it an illusion? I don't know. You see, I've just had someone appear before me here in the studio. Nikki Jade is here. He is a magician slash illusionist. I never know what to call these guys. All I know is they make cool things happen. In the age of AI and technology, does magic still impress? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out how he got into this craft. And I do call it a craft because it's as difficult to learn as anything else. I've known some magicians and illusionists over the years, people like Doug Henning and Harry Blackstone Jr., and I've had the opportunity to interview and meet David Copperfield a few times. And it's everyone approaches it in a different way. They have their own shtick, if you will, their own style. Just as if you were a guitar player, you could be rock, blues, metal, jazz. Well, illusionists have their own style and their own fingerprints on things. And we're going to find out a little bit about this homegrown guy named Nikki Jade.
And this unique show he's got called From the Asylum.
First of all, Tom, hi. Thank you. It's great to be here. It's an absolute pleasure and honor. Yeah, actually, the show is called Magic from the Asylum.
Magic from the Asylum. There you go. So am I correct in saying you're a magician then? So you should use the word magic, or do you like illusionist?
I prefer the term illusionist.
Is there a difference?
I don't get bent out of shape when someone uses the term magician, but my show takes place mainly on stage, which is why I prefer the term illusionist.
Okay.
There's several genres of magic, including, but of course not limited to, stage magic, close-up magic, hypnotists.
It's like a full menu.
Yeah, there's a full menu. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you do the different performers? Is that the right word, performers?
Sure.
Do they all encompass all of them, or do they specialize, like a doctor would?
I would say that it's more of a specialized thing. You know, again, the close-up guys, they're really good. They can come right up to the table. They can do some
Is that sleight of hand?
It's sleight of hand and a few other things, sure, absolutely. And the stage guys, of course, like I said, I consider myself a stage guy or a cabaret magician, as they were known. I prefer to stay on stage and as you said, make some amazing things happen.
Right, right. Well, magic has been around since the start of time. Every king's court had a sorcerer or a wizard or a magician or something. And again, even going back to those days, now I may ruffle some feathers. Some people believe in magic. But a lot of those guys were just illusionists. They would be able to make things happen by sleight of hand, by fooling people.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
The term smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely, yes, sir. In fact, Tom, I do a routine. My version of the cups and balls actually dates back 5,000 years, maybe 6,000 years. There's hieroglyphs in Egypt that portray magicians performing the cups and balls.
What exactly is cups and balls? Is that the cups where you hide things under and you have to pick the cup?
Well, that's interesting because that's what most people assume the
that's why I'm asking, because I'm not sure. And I know what they say about things when you assume.
Yes, sir. Well, the cups and balls actually involves three cups, three balls, and a wand. And some amazing things happen.
Okay. And we're going to leave it at that?
Well, yeah, I'll Why don't you come see me and you can see some pretty cool things.
All right. 5,000 years, cups and balls have been around, at least that we know of. Now, why is it still fascinating people? Why have we not figured it out as a culture, as a people, as citizens of this earth? Why have we not been able to look behind the curtain and see what it is you do?
Well, if you want my honest opinion, Tom, and I hate to sound cliche, I don't think we want to.
Okay.
I don't think anybody wants to see behind the curtain. It's far more fascinating to leave ourselves to our illusions.
Okay. Very good. No, how did you get into this? You're a relatively young guy, at least by my standards. Everybody's younger than me, but...
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've been doing this how many years professionally?
Professionally, I would say... We're getting ready to round 10 years. I've been performing magic professionally.
Okay,
no stranger to the stage. I've been entertaining folks for about 27 years. Magic is I guess a fairly recent interest, but I seem to have taken a shine to it.
What caused that? What flipped the switch? When did the bug of magic bite you?
Well, I could trace it back. Actually, I remember the night it happened.
Okay.
My wife and I, who actually is in the act, she's my assistant, we were watching TV. We were flipping through the channels one night, and we stopped on a channel and saw this young man doing the most amazing things on TV, a fellow by the name of Chris Angel.
Okay, he's the new generation David Copperfield, I guess you'd say. Every generation seems to have their lead magician illusionist. He is the new guy. He's got that radical rebel kind of look, the tats and the piercings and the rock and roll thing going on, as opposed to the other guys who were very Vegas-y.
Absolutely.
Yes. So he was raw.
It was something new. It was something that people weren't seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was different from your traditional tuxedo and dove conjuring act.
Right. No rabbits allowed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, when I seen him doing this stuff on TV, I turned to my wife and I said, "That looks like a lot of fun." And she said, "I think you should try that. I think you would be really good at that."
Okay.
And that's the rest of
history. So what's the next step? How do you learn to be a magician? I mean, you don't go to college and say, "Yeah, I'm going to sign up at IUN or Purdue and say, I want to do magic 101. I mean, how do you learn?
Well, I started out fumbling around in the dark and stumbling around the internet. I bought a lot of stuff I didn't need or didn't want, a lot of garbage. And as time went on, I actually found a brick-and-mortar magic shop in Chicago, which is getting harder and harder to find because of the internet. And there I met a few fellas who pointed me in the right direction, and that really got the ball rolling. And then... through some investigative digging of my own, I actually found a magic group that right under my nose that meets once a month, local guys, and we discuss tips and secrets and stuff like that. And those gentlemen—
I thought you guys don't share. Isn't there that disclosure thing where nobody talks about what they do?
Well, we share. It's a select circle we share with. But those gentlemen really got the ball rolling for me. The name of the group is Fridays with Casey, named after one of our senior members who's no longer with us. And they welcomed me with open arms and immediately began helping me.
Now, is that based in Chicago or Northwest Indiana?
That's a Northwest Indiana group, actually.
We have that many magic makers out here?
I was as surprised as you are.
Wow.
Right under our nose.
That's pretty crazy. No idea. So... back in my day, I mean, we were introduced to magic as kids, I'm saying, not as adults, but as kids, we were by Marshall Brodeen.
And Wizzo.
Wizzo. And he had the little white gloves. He would do this thing, I think it was on Garfield Goose, where they would do this like 3-minute magic card trick. And it was just white gloves doing this card thing. And it was him. And then we would all like save our pennies and we would buy the magic card deck. And it came with a wand and a pair of really cheap white gloves. And I think it was like $4 or something. And I think every kid on my block and every kid in my class wanted to be a magician. We all wanted to be Marshall Brodeen. And he wore the tux and had the old school look.
Yes, yes.
So was that before your time? Do you remember him?
That was a little bit before my time. I'm familiar with his work.
I think he's passed away, hasn't he? Maybe
I would have to verify that.
I don't know, but I haven't heard his name in forever.
Yeah, I don't know.
But hopefully for sure. Not.
Right. But, yeah, he did the classic style of magic, like you said.
I think Jose is looking that up. Marshall Brodeen. He is. See, he's a great producer.
Yes, he is.
I say something and put my foot in my mouth, and he verifies whether I did or not.
The assistant always makes the magician look so much better.
That's true. Now, your assistant, your wife, she just joined the act, you said, about, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
About a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, she joined the act.
How did you recruit her, and what was it like? Obviously, you've been performing 10 years, and you've had her for two, so you did 8 years solo. What's the difference in the performance now that she's there? Obviously, I've seen pictures. She's a beautiful woman. That never hurts on a stage show.
Well, thank you very much.
But what does she contribute as far as the show?
Well, I suppose she contributes quite a bit of distraction, and that helps me out a lot, as you said.
So while they're watching her, they're not watching your hands.
That's correct.
There you go.
But no, actually, she is an incredible help to the show. She is there with everything I need when I need it. She is a creative influence on the show. She helps with some of the ideas. When she's on stage, it is something magical happens when I brought her on stage with me. The audience seemed to immediately accept her, and almost it just seemed like they were more interested now in this couple that was on stage as opposed to this guy that was doing magic on stage. It seemed to be telling more of a story or more of the act seemed to take on something.
Okay, interesting. We are talking today with about magic, I should say, with Nikki Jade. And Nikki is the proprietor, deliverer, performer of magic from the Asylum. And we're going to continue talking. We're going to find out about his show because it's rather interesting. But in the meantime, let's take a breath, give you a chance to do whatever it is you need to do for about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Child, but try to understand.
He is a magic man. He's got those magic hands, and not the way Ann Wilson was probably thinking of those magic hands, but that's okay, because magic men have hands that that can do amazing things. And we're talking sleight of hand in cases like that, where it's up-close magic, I think they call it. Nikki Jade is with us, and he's from Magic from the Asylum. This is kind of our final bit, our farewell to the Halloween season before we embrace Christmas in the second part of the show. But Halloween was just here a couple days ago, and speaking of magic hands, what kind of magic do you do? We talked at the beginning of the show that there's all these different fringe types of magic and segments. What ones are your specialties?
I practice a type of magic, Tom, called silent magic. And a silent magician does not speak during his act. Teller from Penn & Teller, He's a silent magician.
Okay.
So when they introduce the act, they press play, and for a half hour, music plays, and I create magic as the music
to
plays.
To music,
yes.
So you have a soundtrack. It's like a video almost.
It's actually almost, I would call it, five separate videos stacked on top of each other. There are about five music videos that are stacked up on top of each other, and the music coincides and choreographs very well with the illusions that I am performing on stage.
Now, how hard was it for you to choreograph your show to established music? I mean, your movements, it's almost like a dance then.
It's very much like a dance, and I don't mean to sound pompous, but it poured out. This act poured out. The music, I heard the music, I saw the acts, and I put them together. And I've been working on this act, I would say, for the last 5 years to where I've got it where it is now.
Okay.
And it poured out.
When I've seen stage shows before and there's an assistant, usually the magician, illusionist, will say, no, Miss Scarlet is going to disappear into the box or something. You kind of lead the audience to where they're going. How does she take cues?
A lot of rehearsal.
Okay. So she knows exactly when you're going to do whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. As opposed to me as a magician saying, okay, now I'm going to vanish this rabbit. There's a high point or a mark or a cue in the song that I hit, and I hit that cue every time. And the music that I've chosen almost leads the audience up to, wow, oh, I see what he's going to do, and then he does it.
Wow. Okay. Now, is it all the same style of music? Does the music ebb and flow? Are there soft moments? Is there dynamics in the show as far as the volumes and the deliveries of the songs?
Oh, absolutely. I would describe it as almost a roller coaster ride. There's some slow points in the show. There's some really fast points in the show. There's some exciting points. There's some points where you kind of slow down a little bit and see what's going on. The music is, I wouldn't call it one style. It's not all hard rock or all one genre or another. I use a lot of different genres, and I really think there's music and magic there for everybody.
Okay, so if I'm an old guy like I am, in the role of the old man, it's Tom, and I go to your show, I'm not going to hear something that's going to make me cover my ears and run out screaming as opposed to some death metal versus something that kids could understand, old people can understand, everyone can understand. Nothing against death metal, by the way. I'm just saying the volume. Sometimes older folks don't appreciate that. So you do it so that families can enjoy this and relate to the music as well.
Well, now that is a thing, Tom. I have to stress with the use of the word family, my show is not a children's show.
Oh, okay. We need to stress that then. That's important.
Yes, sir. At very best, this is rated PG-13. As a matter of fact, I played the corn roast in Crown Point in 2017.
Okay.
I did the show Fine Friday. Saturday, I was contacted before I left my house that I had to hang up signs that said recommended 13 and over.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. I didn't know there was adult magic.
Well, again, as a silent magician, I also tiptoe in the area of geek magic or bizarre magic. Some of the things I do They're considered dangerous. And,
okay. So it could scare kids, basically, by seeing you do something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I remember magic kind of collided head-on with hard rock and rock and roll in general when Jim Rowe's Sideshow came out. And they had the human oddities and the different things, the sword swallowers, the razor blade. It was an old-fashioned circus act, basically, which hadn't been around for years. And I know we were just talking with Jim about there was a certain thing where the sideshow acts disappeared. I can't remember what the story was that he was telling us. But Jim Rose brought this back. And do you think that turned a whole new generation on to magic? And then Chris Angel followed. So we've got this new breed, which is not your grandfather's magician. Is that what is your audience?
Well,
are they rockers?
That's an interesting question. In my opinion, every generation is going to have their person that brings them into this world. As you stated, Chris Angel seems to be the one today. Mm-hmm. Copperfield before him, Doug Henning before him, and Jim Rose obviously bringing people in. And I think my audience, who I'm trying to target, is somebody that wants to see something different. You know, if you want to see some different entertainment, You're not looking for the run of the mill or the average Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I think you can bring a date out, and I think that you're really going to enjoy yourself.
Where do you perform? What kind of venues can the radio audience see you at?
Well, I have an upcoming live appearance. May I plug the show?
Sure, plug it.
Oh, fantastic! I have an upcoming live performance at the I should say at D Performance Comedy Theater. That is on 500 Lake Street in Miller. And it's a comedy theater. I don't know if you're aware or not.
I'm not familiar with that place.
Well, there's a pretty big stand-up comedy community in this area with some pretty talented guys. And this particular theater, they have First Friday shows. They have a lot of comedians run through, Chicagoland comedians, Northwest Indiana local guys. Mm-hmm. And the theater is absolutely beautiful. It's set up fantastic for the show. I can bring all my lights and smoke machines and things. And as I said, it's
about how many people can attend at this venue?
Packed, probably about 80 people.
Okay.
Comfortably, probably about 50 maybe.
All right.
I'm guessing. This is me eyeballing.
Right. But, and when is this show?
This is December 1st. It's first Saturday in December. The doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. I am actually headlining. It's a variety show. There'll be some stand-up comedians there. I believe there's a spoken word artist there and a few other acts. And it should be very interesting.
Now, do you do a lot of these where it's a variety type show as opposed to you coming in and just doing your half hour, 40 minutes of magic?
It's a little easier to book as part of a variety show. It's hard to book a half hour act because where do the patrons go once I finished up?
Right.
So it's a little easier to book a variety style show. But I have done solo acts where they just wanted me and I just come in, I do my half hour and I leave.
I'm trying to put my head around the fact that you have a group of stand-up comedians and then a guy who doesn't talk but does tricks. how does that fit? Do the stand-up guys support what you're doing? I mean, you're kind of like a round peg in a square hole.
These gentlemen have absolutely been very supportive. They've shared the stage with me. They've shared things on social media. It's a very supportive community, and I really enjoy working with the local stand-up guys.
Now, speaking of social media, how can the listeners keep up with you? Where can they find out where you're performing, what you're about, learn more about you?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. You can find us on the web at www.magicfromtheasylum.com. That's all one word. Or you can find us on Facebook at Magic From The Asylum. Click the like button. I'd really appreciate it.
All right. Magic From The Asylum. Now, that's a pretty interesting name. That kind of screams 13 and over. Do you do the straitjacket thing, like the Alice Cooper thing? Or I saw a promotional photo of you, and you're in a straitjacket with some kind of strange makeup things on your head. It is a kind of a garish show, when at least your promo pictures are. I've not seen the full show.
Sure.
So where's the name from?
Magic From The Asylum. Actually, a friend of mine came up with that, and when he rolled that off his tongue, I said, that's it.
Has it been for the 10 years?
It has been that for the 10 years, yes, sir, man. That's the brand, and that's the one I'm trying to get going. I do a straitjacket escape, actually, for the finale of the show, and do some other. I do a razor blade eating act. I do a classic linking rings routine and a few other things.
See, we had breakfast earlier, and he didn't want to eat the eggs. I should have had him served, you know, razor blades with sausage gravy on it or something. But we're going to be back in just a moment. Again, Nicky Jade is our guest, and he's talking about some very strange magic. Got some strange magic. It sometimes involves eating razor blades. How do you learn to do that, Nicky Jade?
Very carefully, Tom.
Wow. I can't imagine. I mean, going back to Jim Rose, I've seen people with the swords and the things, they broken glass, nails in their head.
Oh, absolutely.
That's mind-boggling.
I did the nail in the nose for a while. I don't do that one anymore.
Yeah. That had to be a little discomforting.
A little bit, like a contact lens.
Wow. Okay, I'll take your word for that. We were talking about how you're performing December 1st in Miller, and that makes me wonder, where all do you perform? I mean, are you strictly local? Do you travel? Have you taken this road or this show on the road to any other distant points?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I've performed in Alberta, Canada, all the way down to Owensboro, Kentucky, and everything in between.
Wow. That's quite a broad swath of geography there. Is it always the same basic show? Is that what they're booking? Have you evolved the show much?
I'm working on new stuff, and I'm always looking to evolve or expand the show. But for the most part, I run the same half-hour show every time.
Okay. Now, I remember when I was interviewing David Copperfield, he would talk about a think tank, and they would, after he did a tour, he would go into the think tank with some of his friends, and they would come up with all these new illusions and how to do it. And I know that some of the other guys had done that. Do you have a team? Do you have a think tank team, or is this all stuff that jumps out of your mind?
Well, I have some creative resources that I do tap.
Okay.
They prefer to remain anonymous, and that's their choice, not mine. And I have some ideas that come to me, and when I tap the resources, I explain what I want to do, and we decide if it's feasible or not.
Okay.
So.
Now, you mentioned this circle of magic people in Indiana here. Is that something anyone can join if they're interested in magic, or do you have to reach a certain level or a criteria before they'll open the doors and say, you can come in, kid?
Oh, no, absolutely. If you have a serious interest in magic— And
even as a novice,
when I walked in there, I could barely vanish a coin, and the gentlemen they welcomed me with open arms.
Okay,
but I think you need to have a sincere interest in magic and a genuine love for the stage.
Are you considered one of the young guys now? I mean, because again, you're a lot younger than I am, and to me, you're young. You got the long hair, you got the rock and roll look, the physique. Most of the magicians I've seen were older. Is this an old man's game? Is this a young man's game?
You know, that's difficult to answer. I mean, first of all, thank you for calling me the young guy. I can't get over that. But some of the groups, they're nothing but older guys. Some of the groups, they've got a fresh crop of young guys that are young and hungry and looking to get into this. I guess you could consider me the younger guy of our group.
Okay. So what's it like to start breaking in? Is it like American Idol? Are there magic contests? I mean, do you have to compete? Battle of the Bands, Battle of the Magicians? I mean, how does it work? How do you get your name to rise above the group, so to speak? How do you become a rising star in magic?
Well, again, amongst the magic community, yeah, there's plenty of contests and plenty of places you can go. Actually, in 2016, I entered my first contest in Colon, Michigan, which is actually the capital, magic capital of the world.
Colon, Michigan?
You can make your own joke there.
Okay.
Believe it or not, it's a home of Abbott's Magic Manufacturing, and it is the magic capital of the world. Anybody that's anybody's been through there.
I've never even heard of it. What's it near? What's it by?
I believe Sturgis is the closest thing, is what it's by. It's about a 2-hour drive from here.
Okay.
And it's a small community, but the magic enthusiasts that are there is just incredible. There's three magic theaters in a town of 250 people.
Wow. And are they all like wizards?
A great deal of them are.
Is there a school called Hogwarts there or something?
If there is, I haven't seen it yet.
Wow. Speaking of that, I mean, do movies like and books like Harry Potter, does that generate interest in the new generation to come and see an act like yours? Now, again, you're not a kid's show, but teens are into the whole Harry Potter thing, and you're 13 and up as far as your generic, or not generic, but your general audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that. If you asked me to pinpoint my target audience, I'd say yes. If you're a teen and you're into Harry Potter or Dungeons and Dragons or Something like that, I think that absolutely they would get a kick out of my show, and that might bring them into the actual magic world where they might be interested in learning something themselves.
That said, you just hit a button with me. Friends of mine run a place called The Librarium in downtown Hobart, and Johnny and Katie are over there, and they do these magic card magic things I don't quite get, because I watch them and all these people pour in there and they do this stuff, and it's all magic themed. Have you ever thought of playing to gamers, or have you done gamers?
Actually, interesting enough, I had always contemplated approaching the folks at the library.
We need to make that happen. Let me talk to them. I think this would be fun. I'd like to produce something there.
I think that would be great. I think that would be awesome.
Yes. Well, we talked about having you down at the record bin, and that's fine, but this might be the better place for it.
Okay.
To do it there.
I can do either or both.
We can do that. If you miss one, you come to the other.
That's it.
So again, you're going to be December 1st in Miller. Where?
At the D Performance Comedy Theater on 500 Lake Street in Miller, Indiana. It's a couple businesses down from Miller Pizza.
Okay, good pizza there.
Oh, fantastic pizza.
Gotta love
it?
That. Is that in your rider? Do you demand free pizza or something?
I should start doing
you
that.
You should. You need an agent, man. Gotta tell you. All right. Where else in the coming future locally can we see you?
Well,
is there anything else booked? I mean, I know Halloween's probably your busy season. You're probably tailoring down now as we get into the holidays, but.
Absolutely. In fact, I just finished up performing at the Tour of Terror Haunted Attraction the last two Halloweens. I'm sorry, the last two Saturdays in October.
Where is that?
That's off of 600 Street in Hobart, the old Nike military ground, Blast Camp.
Okay.
They turned it into a haunted attraction. And
I didn't even hear about that.
They had me come out, and I was performing for the folks in line. So, and that was a lot of fun.
Now, that's sleight of hand, though, because you're walking up and down the line.
Yeah,
right?
I was a little.
You're doing the coin disappearing.
A little
things.
In the new territory, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, because of sleight of hand being a close-up magic, and you do that, that's part of your show, do you, if you're in a larger room, do you have to have a video camera and a screen so they can see it? How do you get them up close enough if you're doing something like that in a performance?
Well, in a performance, I would use a bigger act. I wouldn't do anything. You know, there's certain, as I said, there's specialized parts of magic. And the close-up, you have close-up things you do for a few people, and then you have bigger things you do for more people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't necessarily utilize a camera or anything like that. And I try to... when I'm on stage, and I remember Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden explaining this, how his movements were really big on stage so that everyone in the room could see him, including
exaggerated
the people.
Movements. That's an old theater trick.
Yes, sir. And I try to do that as well when I'm performing so that everybody can see what's going on.
All right. Wonderful. And again, you can keep up with Nikki Jade at Nikki Jade on Facebook. And where else?
At Magic from the Asylum on Facebook. Or at www.magicfromtheasylum.com. That's all one word.
Wow. Are there videos on there by chance?
If you go to Facebook and you go to Magic from the Asylum, there is a video segment that actually I do called Magic from the Asylum Visiting Hours. I call it the first season. The first season was last year, and I'm currently shooting the second season. I'm going to try to do 10 episodes. They're short videos, not more than a couple minutes long. Some stuff I do on stage, other things, new material that I'm working on.
Okay. Nikki Jade has been our guest this hour. We're going to take it from Halloween to Christmas in just a few minutes. Remember, if you want a magic party, he's the guy. Magic party. And we're going to say goodbye to Nikki and get ready to say hello to some new guests in just a moment. Ted Nugent, magic party.
Like to come.
Yes, indeed we are. And if you have a magic party, you got to invite my guest, Nicky Jade. Again, keep up with him on Facebook at Magic at the Asylum or www.magicattheasylum.com. There you go. All right, so we're going to get our next guest ready. Again, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to take it from Halloween to Christmas. Christopher Colley Jones will be joining us in just a bit. But sooner than later, we'll have Stella Rose Hoyt. They are both actors and singers taking part in Miracle on 34th Street, the musical at Theater at the Center. It opens on November 18th. So while we get that all settled, let's do another magical song, because we kind of teased you with this at the beginning. But we're going to give you the whole song right now, because somebody texts me and says, hey, what the heck? Queen is hot right now, and you play 5 seconds of their song, so we're going to give you the whole thing. Kind of Magic, Queen.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance. Of what should be, it's a kind of magic. One shaft of light that shows the way. No mortal man can win this day. It's a kind of magic. The bell that rings inside your mind is challenging the door.
It's the kind of magic, Queen. Have you seen the new Queen movie? Is it out yet? I don't know, but it's coming out. And there's a lot of buzz on that. And of course, that seemed like a perfect song because my guest has been Nicky Jade.
He's a magic man. Oh, yeah.
The magic man producing all sorts of fun stuff for the Magic Show. And that wraps up Halloween. Don't forget to catch Nicky live with the Magic from the Asylum at D Performance Comedy Theater, 500 South Lake Street in Miller, Indiana, on December 1st. Showtime is 7 p.m. Hey, stay with me. We're moving on to Christmas. I've got some special guests joining us on the other side as Midwest Beat continues on Lakeshore Public Radio.